Psalm 16, as we are here in the Word of God, Psalm 16. I'm debating it how long to take on this passage. I'll just give the theme today and go back to Daniel or deal with this whole division in the Psalms. It is a wonderful one. Give you a little bit of background on it this morning and then go to our theme. I believe this is what God would have for us. God spoke to me about this a couple months ago and really drove this home in my heart. My goal and desire is to drive it home in your hearts. Without a doubt, we are in the last of the last days. I believe I have a few witnesses in the house. We're in the last of the last days. I know some of you are saying, well, Paul thought that too. I don't know, but I tell you what, it just seems like we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. Not that God needs my approval, but I would be fine with him coming back in 2022. How about you? Matter of fact, I'd be fine with him coming back on January 2nd, 2022. But if he doesn't, we have a job to do. We have a responsibility, and God is no less worthy of our living for him today than he ever was. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. So listen, the worse the world gets, the more you stand out. Let your light so shine among men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People need the Lord. They need him in Zimbabwe, and they need him in Bailey's Crossroads and everywhere in between. And we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. God wants us to let our witness be known, and I'm praying that God would bless in a special way. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is my portion. He's the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. I like to pause and thank the Lord that he is my portion. The lions are fallen under me in pleasant places. You ever feel like you just, as a Christian, you just keep getting hit with good stuff? The lions are fallen to me. I haven't drawn them. They've fallen under me. That ain't luck. That's providence. Somebody say amen. I will bless the Lord. You going to bless the Lord this year? Who hath given me counsel. Aren't you glad he's helped you figure out what you couldn't figure out? My reins, the deep center of my emotions, also instruct me in the night seasons. How do they do that? They're led by God. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Say that with me. I shall not be moved. You better get good at saying that this year and get better at doing it. Preach, Pastor. Therefore, my heart is glad. Well, I'm not glad. Maybe you move too much. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Most unhappy person on planet Earth is not a lost man. It's a saved person living outside of the will of God. Because he's tasted one thing and he's tasting another thing. Amen. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is, say with me, fullness of joy. Go find me somebody on the Hollywood stars that's experiencing fullness of joy. Show me some dignitary sitting on a throne with all the pomp and circumstance on the planet Earth that's experiencing fullness of joy. The psalmist said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for what? Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for already blessing us in the music today. Now, Lord, as we work our way through this theme, would you give us a resolution as a body of Christ today? Help us to make up our minds. We're going to live for you. I pray, God, that we'd end 2022 with more people redeemed than we started. And I pray, God, you'd give us a burden in these last days for our own friends and family, for our neighbors and so many others. You'd give us a hunger for thee. Now, Lord, bind the devil, keep him from interfering today, and we pray you'll use the Bible as you have time and time again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Perhaps your Bible reads with a caption like mine does, under Psalm 16 or somewhere around it, Miktam of David. If that's in your Bible, Miktam of David, would you raise your hand? That's written in your Bible. How many can attest to the fact there are some things written in your Bible you have no idea what they mean? Raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. We don't understand everything about God, but that's what keeps us motivated, amen, to learn more and more about him. Miktam, it's a meditation. It's a prayer. It literally means golden. Some imply that it means secret. It means to stamp or grave something precious as to be worthy to be engraven on a durable tablet for preservation. It is a psalm stamped like gold. So when David gives this miktam, this prayer, this meditation, he is uttering something to God so precious, so valuable, so rare and so priceless as gold. These words are worthy to be engraven. They are to be preserved, to be kept. Have you ever heard something that was so trivial, so worthless, or maybe even so false that you couldn't wait until you forgot it because listening to it, you knew you didn't want to remember it? Somebody say amen. Some people say some things and you leave there going, that was the dumbest, weirdest, craziest, most untrue statement I've ever heard. David says the antithesis of this before he even begins to pen this psalm. This is a psalm of great thought, of great meditation. In other words, I'm not talking off the top of my head. I'm not uttering vain repetitions. I'm not speaking something that is worthless. These are not wasted words. These are words that I have meditated. These are prayers that I mean from my heart. They should be stamped, engraven. I would say to us at Crossroads Baptist Church, if these words in Psalm 16 are stamped anywhere on the first Sunday of the year, they ought to be stamped on our hearts. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The secret thought of this, that this was something valuable, something precious, something that David had discovered about God and therefore about himself that was secretive in nature. Not that God was hiding it, but that many had not discovered it. It was valuable. It was rare. It was precious. It was priceless. And aren't you glad that the truths of the Word of God that are valuable, rare, and priceless and precious were not hid from us, that God gave them to men through the Holy Spirit of God, revealed to us in His Word, inspired and preserved and kept. And I'm thankful that God didn't hide His mind from us. Amen. We can't understand everything about God. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. But I'm so thankful that God has given us a Bible and that He took 40 different men over a 1600 period time and gave us a manuscript that others have tried to get rid of and to exterminate and to wipe out. Books that get stale and things that get outdated and phrases that become trite and mundane. Aren't you glad that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven and on earth? Just praise God on the first Sunday of the year that you got a Bible, that God has spoken to you and that He's not changing His mind and updating His manuscript, and that nobody needs to come around and write the new version of the Bible or put out the Bible number 2. All right? You don't need a number 2 when the first one is complete. And so we have a Bible, this miktam, this secret golden engraven truth that David gives us in Psalm 16. David was a man that went through many trials. David's rise to the throne was a tumultuous one. He was anointed by God through the prophet Samuel, chosen not by looking on his outward appearance, but because God saw his heart. He knew what it was to be the youngest of the sons. He knew what it was to work the job that nobody else worked. He knew what it was to be delivering lunch to his brothers while they were worthy to be in the battle. And yet, he did not disdain his anonymity. He did not put off the fact that he wasn't always in the limelight because he understood what it meant to be a servant of God. Can I say to you in 2022, we need Christian people who aren't looking for the spotlight, but looking for a place to serve. Amen. God, I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of God rather than dwell in the tents of unrighteousness. I just want to serve God. And that passage we looked at on Friday night, Psalm 116, verse 16, David said, "Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant." Can we all say that this morning? I am thy servant. One more time. I am thy pastor. I don't know what I'm going to do in 2022. I can't figure it all out. I don't know what ministry I'm going to be involved in. I don't know how much money I'm going to make. I don't know what job I'm going to work. I don't know how I'm going to pay all my bills. Hey, listen, why don't you just mark it down on the first Sunday of 2022. I'm God's servant. I'm God's servant. Listen, Jesus said the greatest of these is a servant. Well, I don't rank high on my job. I don't rank high in the world. I don't rank high in the military. I don't rank high in social status. Let me tell you something. The highest ranking member in the kingdom of God is a servant. How do you rank? How do I rank? So here he is in Psalm 16. The particular time in David's life is not given to us. It is very clear that David is not only speaking of his personal plight and his own predicament, but this is also a messianic psalm, inviting us to understand the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Messiah. Look at the end of the psalm where David speaks messianically in word of the Lord Jesus Christ, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." If you don't know that that's messianic, you just read your Bible. Listen, God was not going to leave Jesus in the grave. Aren't you glad about that? God was not going to allow the body of Jesus to suffer corruption. Aren't you glad about that? We believe doctrinally when Jesus rose, his spirit didn't just rise, his soul didn't just rise, his body got out the grave. When Mary, standing in front of the tomb, reached to grab him and hug him, assuming he was the gardener, and then he said to her, "Mary." Isn't it amazing? She didn't know who he was till he called her name. Somebody say amen that God knows your name. And sometimes in your trial, you don't need a word for the brethren. You don't need a word to the beloved. You don't need a word to the body. You don't need a word to the church. You don't need to hear y'all and them and Christian. You need to hear your name. Aren't you glad he knows your name? In 2022, when you feel yourself discouraged and doubting and disillusioned and in disarray, get into the secret place, Psalm 91. Dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't look for a group message. Don't look for a kumbaya circle. Don't look for a Facebook shout out. Look for a one-on-one time with God. You'll remember who he is when you remember he remembers who you are. And so that bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not allow his bones to be broken. He did not allow his body to suffer corruption. In 3 days, he rose again. 3 days later, after he got up out the grave, his body was intact. He said to Thomas, "Put your hands through the nail print hands. Put your hands in the side. You'll find out I'm the same Jesus you talked to several days ago. I'm alive. I'm well." I like it when Peter and the boys went back and told him, "Listen, we've seen him." I like it when those two guys walking on the road to Emmaus went and told Peter and the boys, "We've seen him. He's alive." I put it this way: he lives, he's Lord, and he's loaded. Amen. This is the Jesus that we serve. He went down and came back up. The devil couldn't take him. Death couldn't take him. Sin couldn't take him. And I'm glad that he's just as much God as he's ever been. Let the church say amen. So David, during one of those times, the language of Psalm 16 is very clear that he was going through tough times because he cries for preservation. He says, "I've got to trust you." He says, "Oh Lord, my soul is reaching out to you." He talks about those who have hastened after other gods. He talked about those who were praising idols. And yet he says, "God, while they're doing all that nonsense, I've got to stick to the script." Look here, church. Come on, Crossroads Baptist Church. Give me your eyes just a moment. Listen to me. While everybody's out doing everything in the world in 2022, listen to me. We got to stick to the script. See, a filmmaker or a director of a film will tell you, when I give you a script, you may think you're good. You may think you've got the plot all figured out. You may think you're a good actor, but don't go saying lines that aren't on the script. Listen to me. There's too much ad-libbing going on in the Christian life. Stick to the script. I said, stick to the script. Ain't nobody ever gone wrong doing right. Stick to the script. So David gets here in Psalm 16 in the midst of being attacked, in the midst of attempts around him to destroy him, in the midst of accusations, adversaries, and adversity, with things shifting and moving and situations changing all the time, with those who once stood slipping and sliding, the servant of God had to find himself a spot that he could maintain regardless of what came his way. Now, you didn't come to Crossroads Baptist Church to listen to a pastor this morning who is going to make you privy to everything that's going to happen in your life, because I claim to know the future. If you're looking for one of those churches, this is not it. I'm not going to tell you when you're going to lose your job, when you're going to die. I'm not going to speak a good word, speak a bad word. And I'm certainly not one of them preachers that can preach a person in a casket into heaven or out of hell. I've heard preachers try. I've heard them give false hope to the family. But I'm telling you something. When you die, you better know Jesus before you die. Because what you do with Christ before you die will determine whether you're with him after, preach, pastor, after you die. I can't preach anybody into heaven. And by the way, the devil can't take you out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Once you're saved, you're always. So I didn't come here to tell you what your life's going to be like, what this life's going to be. I've read enough of the Bible to understand I don't believe that life's going to get better on planet Earth. I don't believe the world's going to get closer to God. I believe we're in the apostate stage. I believe even those who claim to walk with God will start moving away from God. I believe that the devil knows that he hath but a short time. We've seen more satanic involvement. We've seen more demonic interference. We've seen more situations that are very clear with the blueprint of Satan's hands all over them. We should not be surprised. We should not be amazed. Listen, the flesh was never godly. It never got saved. So your flesh is not getting more wicked, but the world's getting more wicked. There's nothing new under the sun, but they're finding more ways to do some of the same old stuff. And we got these smartphones in the hands of our dumb selves. Come on now. And they're taking us places we don't belong. We find ourselves needing to get towed and needing to get pulled out. The jaws of death need to get us out of these accidents we find ourselves into because of our disobedience from God. And we're watching a world around us that is waving at Christianity with a spirit of mockery and disdain. They're laughing at what we say. Peter says, willingly ignorant. You know what that means? Dumb on purpose. Where is the sign of his coming? Mocking that Jesus won't come, mocking that the Bible's not real, mocking that Christian principles don't work. Listen to me, you are not the first generation that gets mocked for living for God. You ever heard of Noah? I mean, way back when in Genesis, he's preaching the truth. Let me tell you something, mockery doesn't make something false. Listen, when he closed the door and everybody was locked out and the rain came down, they found out that God was right. Don't be one of those Christians doubting God and questioning God and wondering from God and thinking, well, and since people don't think I'm right and not many people agree with it and not many people say it anymore, it must not be true. Right is right, not because it has a bunch of followers. It's right because it's right. God is the source of right. So here was David in a situation like you and I are in, because he found himself under the pressure of moving and compromising and lowering his guard and dipping his colors, because that's what everyone else was doing. And yet, in verse number 8, David said what we've got printed on the walls and what we're going to say all year long. Say it with me. I shall not be moved. Say it again. Now this, let's say it with emphasizing on the I. Come on now. One more time. Now let's emphasize not this time. Come on now. Ready? Come on. All right now. Put the emphasis on shall this time. Ready? I. One more time. Let's go on the road. Let's go on the road. We could do this on the road, couldn't we? Y'all following good. Now put the emphasis on moved this time. Ready? I shall not be. One more time. Now I'm asking you a question this morning. One more time, put the emphasis on the first word. Ready? Yeah. Look at the person beside you and put the emphasis on the first word. One more time. Now, you know why we're emphasizing that first word? Because in 2022, you're the only one you can control. I know some of you, your body is in 2022, but your mind's stuck in 2021. Everybody didn't do you right. Everybody didn't treat you right. Everybody didn't do what you wanted. Everybody didn't appreciate you. No. Leave that last year and talk about what you're going to do in 2022. Come on, say it one more time. I shall not be. One more time. Now I got news for you. It ain't true just because you said it. If I led the church to say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. And all of us traveled at the end of the service out the right doors. And we went up to the roof and we all said, I believe I can fly. 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 If we said all those things and jumped off the building, listen to me, whoever didn't jump would say, I believe they just died. So we could be one of those churches that claims we're going to live Psalm 16 because we all said it. But the fact of the matter is, there's more to living the Bible than just saying it. Now, how could this man, under all that pressure, facing all of that criticism, dealing with all he faced in his life, make the statement, I shall not be moved? Now, this is what I want to give you, and I'll let you go home and watch some football. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Take your hand, put it right here. Before me. Huh? Listen. David said, this is where I've put God in my life. Everybody say, definite priority. No, wait a minute now. I shall not be. Whoa. I've set the Lord before me. Wait, watch it. Well, I'm just not as close to God as some people, and you've just got to understand. David said, no. I'm as close to God as I want to be. Where have I set him? I have set the Lord always before me. I'll just be honest with you, Pastor. I go through much of the day, and God's not really on my mind like he is some people. No. He's not on your mind because you haven't set him on your mind. I have set the Lord always before me. We teach in grammar the difference between sit and set. Sit is what you do with your body. Set is to put or place something. Okay? I sit down, but I set this cup down. Hey, let me tell you something. Aren't you glad we have a God that's everywhere at the same time? Amen. Hebrews, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Matthew said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he said, amen, so be it. Ain't nothing like God, amen in himself. Listen to me, you're not going to run God out of the world. You're not going to run God out of your life. You're not going to listen to me. But when David said, I've set him before me, he said, I want God close. I want God in front of me. I want God ever acknowledged. I want God's activity ever present. I want God on my mind. I want God in my home. I want God on my commute at work. I want God on my job. I want God in my choices. I want God in my habits. I want God in my decisions. I want God in my thinking. I want God in my counsel. I want God in my friendships. I want God in my family. I want God in the way I talk. I want God in the way I dress. I want God in the way I think. I want God in the way I feel. I want God in my ideology. I want God in my methodology. I want God in my attitude. I want God in my habits. People say, I just wish God would just show up in every area. If I could just go to sleep with a Bible on my head on top of my pillow and wake up with a mind like Jesus Christ and flip. No. You don't get the Bible by osmosis. You get the Bible by obedience. I have set the Lord always before me. Let me give you another thought. He is at my right hand. Is that what the verse says? Huh? No. It's not what it says. What does it say? Because he's at my right hand. Next statement, because he's at my right hand, what? The danger of preaching out of context is that it dives into passages, borrows phrases, uses them to promote and demand promises in the life of a believer, but doesn't always include the context of the phrases around them.
Now, there's a lot of people, I should not be moved, I should not be moved, I should not be moved, I should not be moved. The devil come bother me, I tell him in the name of Jesus, I should not be moved, I should not be moved, I should not be moved. And you look at them, they moving while they say it. Look at what David said. Because he's at my right hand. Woo, mercy. He said, because I put God in the right place in my life, I can be assured I'll stand in the right place in my life. Watch this now. He said, on the second day of January 2022, I'm going to tell you I'm making up my mind. I'm not going to be moved. Listen to me. I can't tell you what the spouse going to do, what the kids going to do, what the job going to do, what the family going to do, what people going to do. I can't tell you what my friends going to do, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I shall not be moved. Why? Because I put God ever before me. Because he's at my right hand. Now, I want you to think about this phrase, he's at my right hand. We've heard before, I got a right hand man. He's my right hand man. First of all, the right hand is typically the most dominant hand. Most people are right-handed. Now, some people are left-handed people. We got some. Raise your hand if you're left-handed. Raise your hand. Left-handed people, all right. I mean, something happened. Just live with it. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But typically, the right hand is the dominant hand. When we talk about the right hand, it has significant meaning. Look what Isaiah said, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one that helpeth thee. The right hand signifieth strength. Most people are right-handed. It signifies authority. Notice what Jesus said, or the Bible said in Psalm 110, the Lord said, sit at my right hand until thy enemies become thy footstool. It's a place of authority. James and John's mother wanted her kids to sit at the right hand and the left hand. No, Jesus said, no, it's not for you to sit there. It's a position of authority. It's a position of blessing. When the right hand of the Father was placed on the child, it was significant of blessing. It's also a hand of strength. Exodus 15, verse number 6, the Lord is glorious in power. His right hand shatters the enemy. It is also a sacrificial significance on the right side. Aaron and his sons would perform animal sacrifices. They would kill a ram, and they take the blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of his sons, and the thumbs of the right hand, and the great toes of the right foot, and through the rest of the blood of the on the sides of the altar. At another time, Aaron took the sacrifice, he killed it, and Moses took the blood and put the blood of the lobe on Aaron's right ear, and the thumb on his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. Even in the anointing of oil, it was done on the right side, as when they took some oil that remained in his hands, the priest put on the right ear of him to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. It's symbolic of sovereignty. The book of Revelation, we see Jesus using the right hand. In the right hand, he was seated, and there was a scroll in his hand with the seven seals. He held the scroll in his right hand. He set his right foot on the sea. In his right hand, he held the seven stars, a two-edged sword. His face was shining full of strength. The right hand and the right foot both symbolized sovereignty and authority. Pastor, what are you telling us? David said, listen, when God's in my life, he's not on the left. He's not on the side. He's not an afterthought. He's not leftovers. He's not a passage I read at the end of the night just to say that I talked to him or that he talked to me. He's not just something I use to pray for before I eat or to call on him when I get in a bind. He's not a prefix to cuss word. He's not just the big daddy upstairs or the higher being or the supreme one. No. I've set the Lord before me. He's at my right hand. He's in a position of authority. He's in a position of blessing. He's in a position of significance. He's in a position of sovereignty. He's at the dominant place. He's at the familiar place. Listen to me. There's too much happening in our world today to think you're going to live the Christian life just because you're a member of this church, you've been saved a long time, you have a dominant personality, you know a lot of the Bible, you've been around Christianity, you're used to being a habitual Christian. That's not enough. Greater than you and I have fallen and are falling as I speak and will fall perhaps before I finish speaking today. I don't want to be a preacher who used to stand on the truth. I don't want to be somebody who used to live for God. I don't want to be a church that used to stand for what righteousness is all about. I don't want to be a Christian who used to live for God but moved away. But I'm here to tell you, with adversities and attempts and accusations and difficulties in your life, all kinds of situations are going to come. And listen to me. It's easy to excuse yourself from moving. It's easy to excuse yourself for compromising. It's easy to say the world's too hard. Christianity is too tough. Nobody wants to do it. Churches don't believe in that anymore. It's just too old fashioned. Listen to me. Let's get some Davids in Psalm 16 that would say in January of 2022, listen to me, I have set the Lord before me. When I get up in the morning, before I check Facebook, before I send out a tweet, before I'm trying to post something on Instagram, before I'm trying to show somebody what getting out the bed looks like on TikTok, let me get God before me. Before I go calling this person and calling that person and making sure I do this and fixing my breakfast. People tell me, I don't get to read the Bible because I forget. I said, make a deal with yourself. No Bible, no breakfast. You'll find a way to start reading God's word. Well, that's just not a really good deal. Job said, I esteem his words more than my necessary food. You need the Bible more than you need your oatmeal, more than you need your Frosted Flakes, your pancakes, your French toast, your bacon sausage, or tofu, whatever. You need the Bible. You make a deal with yourself. I'm going to set God before me. I'm not going to make sure I call this person and call that person and watch this show and watch that show. I'm not going to be more concerned about football than I am my Heavenly Father. I'm not going to spend more time on Fox News or CNN than I am in God's holy word. I'm not going to call this person or call that person or comment on this or engage in this gossiping discussion before I engage in a one-on-one conversation with Almighty God. I've set the Lord before me. He's at my right hand. He's not an afterthought. He's not behind me. He's not somebody I got to go looking for because I didn't take him with me everywhere I went. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is not with you all the time. I'm not saying the omnipresence of God is not a bedrock doctrine in the Christian life. I'm just simply saying you and God are as close as you want to be. And when you put him where he belongs, you can join the psalmist in Psalm 16 and say, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God give us a church full of Christian folk that believe that right there. Don't get to 2020, into 2022 and be like some Christians. Start it off and then end up. Everybody, when they shoot the gun, they start off the race, everybody start running fast. You get to the end, and you be like Jesus. Where are there not 10? Where are the 9? They fell out in the race. What happened? Too many problems. Too many pressures. Too much persecution. Too many people against them. They couldn't make it. Oh, they could have. If they had set the Lord before them. And because he's at my right hand. Let's make it personal. Psalm 16, verse number 8, reading together. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I don't know what you're going to go through this week. I don't know what you're going to go through this month. I don't know what you're going to go through this year. But I know one thing. If you'll get God where he belongs in your life, nothing you face will move you, because it is his position in my life that gives me my position in this life. And I'd like to join David this morning and let the devil and everybody else know, including my own self. I talked to a Christian yesterday, said, I'm going through difficulty. I said, read the Bible in your house and read it out loud. Let the devil hear you read it. You're going through discouragement, you find yourself alone, read the scripture out loud. Well, the devil already knows the Bible. Remind him of it. Well, I already know what I'm reading. Remind yourself of it. hear yourself saying good stuff like you hear yourself saying bad stuff all the time. Some of us can't be good Christians because we keep rehearsing negativity in our mind. Philippians chapter 4, what sort of things are true, just, honest, lovely, pure, of good report. Well, I just know something bad is going to happen. Philippians 4 says, think on good report things. You read the Bible out loud. So I'm telling the devil, all of you, and anybody looking back on this webcast months later, I hope if I'm alive 10 years from now and still in this church, pastoring this church, I hope you look back on January 2nd, 2022, say, he said it 10 years ago, and that joker must have meant it because he's still preaching the same thing. Look here, everybody listening, and all of you demons in the air that are floating around here that got here before we got in here that didn't need a key and don't have a mask on, and you spreading all your nonsense. I want to let you all know too, Beelzebub, Belial, and all the rest of you ones, I shall not be moved. And I'd like some folks to join me in 2022 at Crossroads Baptist Church. Father, we love you and we bless you. Help us. God, we're not claiming to be perfect and we're not trying to sound presumptuous. We just want to stand where we know we should stand. And we don't want anything to knock us off our mark. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor.